give you a few reference points to, for where I'm coming from. The message I would like to give to you is that I would recommend to apply what you know in terms of complexity, spiral dynamics, integral theory, and only explain afterwards. I work in an organization where most people are not aware of these principles. They don't know what ARCQUAL is. They don't know integral theory. But I can try to explain, and I really love talking. I'm sorry about that. But in the end, it doesn't really work. So what I've learned over time is that it's better to just apply what I know, do it, and then say, you know, this is what happened. This is how it frames in the theory. I grew up in a middle-class family in the Netherlands, and I studied at Twente University, which is the youngest technical university of the Netherlands. And at the time, and still today, it was a technical university that also had a social part. A friend of mine became a philosopher and now teaches ethics, just to give you the wide scope of that university. I studied chemical engineering, but I also had to do some other stuff, like cultural anthropology. At the time, I remember the teacher saying to us that there was not one truth. I didn't get it. I just didn't understand it. I knew what truth was. I could prove it. Of course, I went to the student board. I traveled. I learned more social skills. I started to evolve. And I went to the military service. I started to work. What I found in my first job is that there was never a technical problem that could not be solved because of technical issues. If the problem could not be solved, it was also always something social or something that I didn't understand. So I started what you would call personal development. And I got from blue, orange to green, postmodern. Today, I work in Belgium for a company called Colruyt Group. It's a supermarket chain and a wholesaler, almost 30,000 people. It's the largest private employer in Belgium. It's also one of the most successful companies in Belgium. It is still today a family-owned business, which means that the Colruyt family is still the shareholder, a large shareholder. The other shareholders are people like me. I own a small portion of the company, like many of my colleagues. So it means that it's our company. So the family values are already there. And we talk about food, healthy food, so the basic needs. At the same time, it has been a long history to also develop personal skills for people. So it's very normal to say, I would say I'm going to the integral conference, and people will say, oh yes, I also did a mindfulness training, or I did something, that, that, that. It's very standard, very normal. So it's a value-driven company, so it's very aware of its values, that's already there. And let's get a little bit technical. Before you can eat an apple, or you can buy it in the shop, lots of technology is needed. Lots of cooling is needed. You can only get modern food as you are used to it by cooling. And that technology has an enormous impact. I recently read that in Africa, 97% of the food is not chilled, and a lot of it is wasted. And in Africa and South America alone, enough food is wasted to feed 600 million people. In the modern world, we have a lot of cooling, but it has an enormous environmental impact. It has a really significant impact on global warming. So it has an impact on all sides. A cooling machine from the outside perspective, I need energy. I extract heat somewhere and I deliver it somewhere else. Very simple. See, now I'm getting more. The only technical slide I'm going to use. And what I want you to understand is that there is something circulating in the machine, a component, a refrigerant. You may have heard of the Montreal Protocol, of the ozone layer, and it was one of the most successful environmental actions in the world, was to abolish that type of refrigerants that was causing the ozone layer to vanish. Today, we are in the next phase where the refrigerant we are using is causing global warming. There's a new crisis going on. And of course, the chemical industry has new chemicals as a solution. Yes. But my colleagues and I convinced our CEO in 2014 to not go that way. We are only using so-called natural refrigerants, substances that are already in the world today and have very little impact. 1 kilogram of this stuff that is technically normally in there, the chemical, has the same effect on global warming as driving a small car around the planet. And a cooling machine in a supermarket has at least 100, 200 kilograms, and on average, they lose 10 to 20%. Can you imagine? Now we go to a different refrigerant called propane. It's just what the same as you use on your campsite, and has 1,000 times less impact. That's what we're doing. So, as you can see here, this is complicated, but when I add the surroundings, its interaction with its surroundings, it gets complex. I'm adding humans. And as you can see, we're not only doing cooling, we can also heat the shop with the heat that is released. So then we go into systems thinking. The book Drawdown proposes technical solutions that can be done today to solve the global crisis, in this case, global warming. And the top one, the most important action is the refrigerant. Mm-hmm. That's the most important action to take.
Would you speak up a bit more loudly?
Sorry.
Who is doing this? As you do
have it? Oh, there's a link in on my PowerPoint. The book is called Drawdown. I will try to speak up a little bit. So this is a book. I didn't read the book. I just looked at the list, and I made the calculation and said, oh, if the top 10 is 55%. And I was very happy to show this to our CEO and say, well, actually, we look on many of these food, wind turbines, many of those points we already do as a company. Colgate Group is investing on wind turbines on the North Sea. We have our own energy company. So only producing sustainable electricity. So the EU has also understood that something had to be done. And for this, in this complex situation, they chose a linear solution, which is to say, from 2020, you cannot do what you were used to do. And from 2030, you cannot even maintain the installation that you have today. And many organizations are not ready for this, what I'm saying here. Many of my colleagues, supermarkets, are not ready for this. So what we did in 2013 already, sensing that it was coming, you know, we built a first prototype, which was technically okay, but did not take into consideration safety feelings of the technicians. I'm writing about feeling. You know, it's the feeling of the technicians that this is not safe. This is enough in our company to say, we can't do this. We have to find a different solution. That's very difficult. So, in 2014, we developed this slide, this idea of completely rethinking, redesigning what we were doing. It had to be plug and play, clearly documented, very easy to maintain, sensible ecologically, and it should be reusable. Nowadays, this is called circular economy. We didn't know that, but now we know it's called circular economy. And at the time, Otto Sharma was offering the U process as an online training, and I got some of my colleagues to come on board to try it out. So this started a conversation on how to bring about change. And we actually got involved with all the different people in the company that were affected by this. Otto Sharma says, go to those people who are the most affected by the system, which are our cooling technicians. We have our internal cooling technicians. So we got them around the table every 2 weeks, and we spoke about this idea. And they told me, I want everything double. I want the compressor double, I want the pump double. And I told them, it cannot be done. It's impossible. And in the beginning, this was a lot of tension. And they were emailing around me to their management, like, Colin is not listening. And I had to teach them, you can say this in my face, I don't agree, and we can still be colleagues. And after half a year, we got to the point that we knew what we wanted, but we did not have a solution. We were here. For some weeks, this was complete calmness. And then I sent out my intention to the world and said, Dear producers of cooling machines, help me. This is what I need. Who can help me? One company from Eastern Germany called me and said, Herr Burtstadt, Sie müssen kommen. And with my family, with my partner, we happened to be just around the corner in the Czech Republic at the very moment. You know, it's easy to sense that, yeah? Like, duh, okay, I have to be there, yes. So I drove there, and they had a solution. this machine is powerful enough to cool a small supermarket. Now I can suddenly build two. I have a reserve one. Mm-hmm. And all the cooling, the whole cooling system has been shrunk into a very small system with only 2.5 kilograms of flammable refrigerant. And suddenly I can do what I did not think was possible. Mm-hmm. And I had to go through this process. Mm-hmm. So you're all aware of this model. This is the spiral dynamics model. Yes?
What is the name of the German company?
The company called Futron. Yes? Yeah. So do you know why this technology is available in the former eastern part of Germany? Before the wall went down, they did not have modern refrigerants. They had to work with what they had. So in that part of Germany, there's a lot of knowledge on this type of environmentally friendly cooling.
Can you explain more how it works?
No, I don't. I'm happy to explain to you afterwards. But that's too much into detail. But what I want to say is it only has a compressor and a few heat exchangers, and the rest is distributed with water. Water with an anti-freeze component in it. Yeah. So, of course, my technicians, my colleagues technicians, they're not operating from postmodern. They just want the problem solved. So I need to talk to them in a different way. I need to have different things in place. I need to deal with managers. My directory is very structured. So if I talk to him, I communicate in a very structured way. My marketing people are very postmodern, so they really like to talk about it. So it's different for every person. We wrote a brochure because we calculated and we needed to get 1,000 people, colleagues on board. So we sat down, my manager, a colleague and I, and we just wrote down what we would communicate to every one of them. We made that into a brochure. See? And I did this with the work of Barrett Brown, who wrote a wonderful article on how to communicate about environmental stuff to different value systems. So we need a lot of communication to the authorities. You know, I can introduce a new technology, but I'm moving from the environmental concern to the safety concern. And Belgium, being the country that it is, has three regions. The regions are responsible for the environmental aspect, but the federal state is responsible for safety. So what did we do? We just got all of them in one room. It was really fantastic to have the different regions talk to each other. French-speaking, Dutch-speaking, all together. So, as you know, I am an engineer. My job title says engineer. I don't know if you've heard about the work from Benita Roy, open participatory organization, the core performance value zone. One of the core performance value zones, of course, is engineering. Another one is communicating about it. Yet another one is looking at the organization. And luckily, I find myself in a place where I get the space to do all that, to move to different spaces. I always tell my young colleagues, do you want to work here? Do you want to continue to work here? Make sure that what you do makes sense, brings something to the company, that you bring value. And it doesn't matter what you do. There's a very heavy project management structure in our company. But I must say that our management system cannot follow with the speed at which me and my team are innovating. So since 1.5 years, I don't have a project. I don't have a formal budget. Okay. So it's a big gap between the idealistic reality of formal project management and the actual reality how we are actually operating. I'm going to talk later this week in the Teal track, and what I'm going to say there, I want to tell you as well, Ladoux speaks about reinventing organizations. So I just showed you, we had some standard way of working, and now we're in reinventing. So I reinvent something. And when I reinvent something and bring that into a standard organization, what happens? What happens if I bring something new, a new idea in my personal universe? Everything shows up that is not coherent with that new reality. That happens in an organization too. If I say I'm going to reinvent cooling in this case, everything that doesn't work will show up. So I had to talk to the financial department and told the accountant, your accountant made some mistakes. Accountants do not make mistakes. This is a real problem. But in fact, I had paid the wrong amount to our supplier and actually came to the point that they denied that this was the case. And I had to ask my supplier, can you please confirm that we paid the wrong number to you? And they said, yes, you paid 15,000 euros too much. It's on our account. We are just waiting for you to ask it back. So this is a trust relationship, as you can see. And this is another aspect. In the standard organization, things are predictable. So the legal department wanted a very big, big legal contract. And the German said, no way. Line page 13, that we can't do. At page 25, no, we can't do. And the Belgians were like, what's the problem? It's just a contract. And the Germans said, hey, when we sign a contract, we mean it. So I had dinner with the German supplier, and I told them that in Belgium it happens that suppliers don't really do what we agreed them to do. And the mouth of the man is open for 2 minutes. Like, it's not possible. That doesn't exist. That doesn't exist in Germany. So I am Dutch, I'm not Belgian, so I'm really reading the cultures here. And we spend €1 million on equipment without any contract. Of course, I needed to have some support from my superiors to do that. It was impossible to create a contract, so I said to the supplier, I trust you, you can trust me. That's value-based entrepreneurial. But, I don't know if you're aware of the, I'm sorry, you can't really see it, the Kinefin model from Dave Snowden. I'm finishing off. It's very interesting. I only got to know this very recently. So we're moving in this discussion from a complicated cooling machine in a complex situation where most of the company is actually still in very simple, straightforward procedures. And if we don't have, if this is applied, where this is the case, we end up in chaos. From time to time it happens, and my job is then to bring chaos back to complexity and back to complicated, and in the end, back to simple. That's it. My time is up.
Thank you.
And thank you for your attention.